Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Oh, what about how the NRL conceded the bunker was wrong to send Patrick Carrigan during Brisbane's loss to Melbourne? In your face, pal.
In my face?
Yeah.
You've begun your slide. You're in second position and on your way south.
Equal top on the ladder.
See you later.
Not 14th, losers. Anyway, what do you want to talk about?
Nothing anymore.
Come on. Come on. You want to tell me what happened on the weekend?
I had a near disaster yesterday and you started with your Broncos.
Okay, well, sit down on the couch,
Like it was actually it was a huge problem.
All right, okay.
We had Mother's Day, because it was Mother's Day, and Gwen finally got home from her night away with the girls for Mother's Day.
She chose to stay away from Rob.
No,
he didn't.
Chose to stay away with the girls and had a good nice night. Great.
Okay.
Came back, and it was all cups of tea and presents and stuff, and I thought, I'm going to make you a beautiful dinner.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful dinner last night.
So did I.
I said, what would you like?
What did
she
want?
She wanted fillet steak.
Oh, beautiful.
Of course.
So
anyway, I got some discount.
That's expensive
I got some discount fillet steak. Because you can actually get, if you buy the whole fillet, you can get it. It costs like $35.
Yeah.
It was $40 a kilo.
Yeah, get
which
it
is
sliced
cheap,
up.
Cheap
get
for fillet. And you say, trim that and slice it, please, Mr. Butcher. So I brought that home. Bought a few prawns as well. So it was surf and turf.
Oh, I love that. You put it on the steak.
No.
With cream sauce?
No, I didn't do the cream sauce. Okay. No, they were pre-cooked prawns. And Anyway.
I still throw them in.
Actually, on the steak would have been nice with the cream sauce. Should have done that.
Should have called me. I'm always helping you out in your relationship.
So I fired up the barbie. I'd cook the steak and I put it on the plate. And then as I pulled the steak off the barbie, there was just a bit of meat and stuff on the grill. I thought, okay, what I'll do, whilst we have dinner, I'll just put the lid down and do the pyrolytic cleaning technique, you know, where you just heat up the grill and it burns everything off.
Yeah.
Right? There was no fat in the tray. I thought, this is great, no problem. I went inside, we sat down and had dinner, and it was really nice. We were chatting away. Dinner went for a while. And then I looked, as we were finishing off the dessert, which was some little tasty treats that we'd got, I looked outside and I saw smoke, and I thought, that's a bit weird. Shouldn't be smoking like that. And then I went outside. Oh, geez, I realised I'd had forgotten to turn it off. It had been a good hour and a half. Anyway, so I went out and sure enough, out of the bottom of the barbecue, there were flames. And I'm going, oh no, it's happened again. Anyone, people might remember this story from a couple of years ago. I told about when I set fire to the house almost. Anyway, the barbie was well and truly on. And it was... I went to half lift the lid because you don't want to get the oxygen in it.
That's right.
And they go, whoom. So I sort of half lift the lid, could barely touch it. So I had to use the things and going, oh no. And it was
really hot.
It was almost molten. The hot plate was glowing. It was that hot. And I thought, oh, this is bad. And I didn't know what to do because it's a barbecue built into the cooktop, which is built into the back area of the house, right? I thought, oh, far out. No,
I thought you were going to swear then.
So did I. I did at the time. Anyway, so righto. Anyway, so then we're thinking, how do we get this? I don't know how to get it out because I didn't want to put water on it.
Have you got a fire blanket?
Just in case. Yes. So get the fire blanket. Gwen got the fire blanket. She's come out and going, why did you leave it on again? Because I've already done it once.
So the barbecue's on fire and first thing your missus does is have a go.
You've left it on again. Brings out the fire blanket. How's this? The fire blanket, I think, is there an expiry date on fire blankets?
I think they may have.
Because this was bought in 2015.
No.
We put the fire blanket, because I lifted the lid.
It wasn't all crumbly, was it?
Well, no, it was fine. But as I put it over the top of the whole lid, but it didn't cover. Yeah. I thought, oh no. So then I had to somehow lift the lid, it was white hot, and then slide the fire blanket in on top of the hot plate. As I slid it in, it's just gone, whoom, the fire blanket just blew up.
See,
that's not a fire blanket. Then I dragged it out.
That was in the $2 bin. You should never buy a fire blanket in a $2 bin, mate.
I dragged out the fire blanket and it was on fire. Gwen's going, don't pull it out. So then I've dragged it to the grass and I've got my daughter, Branny, going, Dad, don't burn the grass. And I'm going, oh, please.
You're copying it from both ends.
So then I put the fire blanket on the grass, stepped on it to put it out.
Yeah.
Then we got the
so was the barbecue still on fire?
It was blazing, mate. The smoke billowing out of our house.
Do you have a fire extinguisher?
Yes.
A foam? Where was that?
We went and got it.
Oh, right.
Pulled the pin. Nothing. Didn't work. It's going, this is ridiculous. Looked at the thing. 2015. does not. You've got to update your fire
exactly,
gear.
And here's and
then,
a lesson.
Oh, and then the kids are all into me. They started making jokes about it because eventually I got the hose and just put the thing out and the smoke coming out.
Did you put the hose on? Was it fat burning?
No, it wasn't fat burning. Right. Must have been some sort of fault. It's a gas barbecue with that plugged into mains. I just put the hose on it and it all went out. Eventually, my son Griff, he's there just laughing at me.
Yeah.
He gets his custard that went cold when he was in there. He goes, Dad, how long should I put this in the microwave for, do you reckon, to heat it up? I said, what? Yes, yeah, how long should I put it in? I don't want it to burn, though, Dad. Don't leave it on too long.
Remind me, I'm not coming around to your joint for a barbecue this weekend.
No.
Yes, but it's good gone. Advice. Update your fire blanket.
Update your fire gear.
And your extinguisher.
Fire blanket. Yeah. Get a brand new one this weekend.
Okay.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Yeah, we spoke to Maxie. Maxie and three of his mates ran across America. They did 80 marathons in 80 days for the Cancer Council. We spoke to him last week. And get it on the listener app. And this is what Maxie did say to us.
Sean had some pretty bad cellulitis. He got blood poisoning from an infected blister. He was told by doctors to stop running. He didn't. He just pumped antibiotics and kept going. Rory had a slight fracture in his tibia, I think. And a doctor told him to stop running and get on crutches. He didn't listen to that either.
No, why would you? Yes.
And they kept going.
Rory, you idiot. but he did it.
What doctor's orders did you ignore? Neil from Terrigal. Good morning, mate.
Neil,
how you going?
Yeah, good. What did you ignore?
When I was 15, I broke my back in two places on a motocross bike, and they said I would never ride a bike or play football ever again. What do they know?
What do they know? And so
I was back on my motocross bike in 6 months and playing football back in a year.
And you broke your back, as in spinal.
I broke it right near the L5-S1 vertebrae. Yeah, my lower back.
Mate,
that's the sort of doctor's advice that most people would probably listen to.
Yeah.
And I've had a spinal fusion done, so my lower six vertebrae don't move. My back doesn't move from the six vertebrae up.
So did you have that straight after your accident or later on in life?
No, I had. That's how they fixed my accident.
And you went
six fused vertebrae. What position were you playing?
Second row.
Second row. Well, you've got to keep your back pretty straight in there, don't you? Just push through it.
You can't arch your back, that's right.
It's not a league scrum.
Hey, Patty.
Yeah.
Go to the Panthers this weekend, mate.
I know. We've got the Panthers.
Oh, you are in big trouble.
No, you guys have got Souths. You're in bigger trouble.
Who, Cronulla?
No, Parramatta.
I don't go for them anymore.
Neil, how's your back now?
Don't change the subject, mate.
Yeah. I was going to give you a double pass to see John Farnham finding the boys.
I think Adam Reynolds got a bit of grass up his nose or something, didn't he? So he's not playing this weekend.
Oh, get out of here.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
But look, we were alerted to a sign in Wyong. As you go over the bridge and you go left and you go whoop there,
yeah.
And on civic guides, and people who rock up, they go, oh, gee, bloody hell, see where I am in Wyong.
Wasn't sure.
Yeah.
When did it look like that?
Yeah.
Must be an old map.
But it's got a guide to, is it Barnsdale?
Barnsdale.
But of course it is Barnsdale. Of course it is Barnsdale. Well, we thought, where the bloody hell is Barnsdale? Well, Barnsdale is in the city of East Gippsland. And we think something untoward's going on here.
A bit weird.
So we've got the mayor of East Gippsland with us, Mark Reeves.
We don't muck around. No, g'day, Mark.
G'day, Mark.
G'day, Paddy. G'day, Rob. And good morning, everyone on the Central Coast. Thanks for your interest. Now, I've got to correct you. There's no such place as Barnsdale where we live. No. There is a Barnsdale. So
that's
if you
what
look
I said.
Carefully,
see,
it's got an air.
Apologise.
It's got an air about
Barnsdale.
It.
An air about it. There
Barnsdale.
About it.
Barnsdale. Oh, Barnsdale. Palmer thinks he knows everything.
Good on you. Well, thanks for your interest. You know, Barnsdale's a great place, and so is East Gippsland. And it's a funny story, but I'm happy to share a couple of ideas.
So how the bloody hell did the guide to Barnsdale appear
in Wyong?
On the Central Coast?
Well, I think there's two plausible and one implausible reason.
Right.
And I'll prosecute those three and you can decide which is the real reason.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Game show.
So, reason
game show
one.
Okay, game show music.
So, all right. So have your hands on the buzzer, right?
You okay. Ready?
Okay. So the first possible idea is that we have got a tourism and visitor economy strategy where we are promoting Bairnsdale as the tourism destination of the whole east coast of Australia. So right up and down the east coast, on civic guides, you will find guides to Bairnsdale promoting our town.
Okay, that is probability number one.
Option A, promoting your
town. That's option A.
Okay, what's option two?
Option two is civic guides, the company, had an excess of old signs. And when they sent a sign to Wyong, they just plastered the Wyong sign, a guide, over an old guide to Bairnsdale.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. Over plausible.
Time, over time. Yeah. Over time. It just fell off.
Just faded.
Revealed. The true centre of the universe.
Oh, Bairnsdale.
I see.
Bairnsdale population 15,000, isn't it?
20 odd thousand.
Yeah. Okay.
And the third possibility is we have a suburb in Bairnsdale called Wyong, and there could have been a dyslexic person at Civic Guides that mistook Wyong and Wyong.
Oh, right. Now, all
hard
three.
Hard to mispronounce Wyong.
So,
all three are plausible.
Fine.
All are plausible.
I like option B.
I've got a photo of a sign, and it's pretty tatty and old. And I have to say that even the guide to Bairnsdale is probably 20 years old. It's missing one of the main suburbs in Bairnsdale. Oh. So it's an old sign.
Right.
You'll have to send us an updated version. We'll get a little texter out and make an amendment on the map.
And look, I think that anybody who turns up in Wyong and gets out their Google Maps and thinks that they're in Bairnsdale, they have got troubles.
They've just come from the Royal Hotel at Wyong. And,
I think so.
They've lost their way. Now, if we are heading to Bairnsdale, what is the number one attraction that we should see if listeners from the Central Coast are heading to East Gippsland?
Look, Bairnsdale is really a service town to get you to the beautiful places like the Gippsland Lakes, Painesville. It's really the business centre of our shire at one end, the western end of our shire. And for listeners up on the Central Coast, our shire is, if you think, the bottom right-hand corner of Australia. It extends, it's a huge shire, 22,000 square kilometres. The far eastern end is Mallacoota. And listeners will probably be familiar with Mallacoota. It was badly impacted by the Black Summer bushfires. And in between is, of course, the most beautiful wilderness area, Croaging Along National Park, the Wilderness Coast, and to the north are the ski fields and the mountains, the Victorian Alps.
Oh,
the right butt cheek of our wonderful nation.
Absolutely. You've got it. The right butt cheek. There it is down there.
I love a right butt
cheek.
And what
a cute butt it is too.
Yes, you want to head to Bairnsdale, the place to be, apparently. Mark, well, you know what? We might even take a tour down there, Robert.
We should.
We should, and come and say good day.
I will promote Bairnsdale.
All right, then. Well, Mark Reeves, the Mayor of East Gippsland, thanks for joining us this morning, mate, and filling us in as to why that sign in Wyong says...
Yeah, the answer was option B, wasn't it?
Option B. And look, long may stay there and let me know if it disappears, and I'll send an officer up there to replace it.
Thank you, Mark.
Cheers, buddy. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Robert, you know what the greatest invention is? And I realised yesterday.
Yeah, go on.
You know how you get something, you go, that is the greatest invention. Like you get air conditioning in your house and you go, that is the greatest invention ever. And then you get something else, you go, that is the greatest invention ever.
Yeah.
You know, you get Netflix. And you go,
Netflix.
Netflix, you go, oh, that is so good. And then you might get something else. You go, you might get a real cool oven.
Like a pool cleaner.
Pool cleaner, you go, that is the greatest invention. Or you might get an oven with a camera in there so you can check out what you're cooking. I don't have one, but that would be
the greatest. Ever. What about
a
doorbell that when you ring it, it just Bluetooths your phone and shows you no matter where you are,
who's
at the door.
That is the bloody, and you think to yourself, that is the bloody greatest
invention
I'm
just
yesterday.
In the bathroom, but you're really at Woolworths.
Well, you know, yesterday when I was wrapping up Kirst's Mother's Day present, because you can buy wrapping paper and it's got grid on the underside. You know, it's gridded on the other side.
I've seen cooking paper like that.
No, well, you can get those on wrapping paper. And I thought to myself.
So you can cut straight lines.
Straight lines. And I'm there.
Because how often How often do you cut along the pattern to try and keep your line straight?
And you go off like a drunk person.
Well, then you get a funny pattern that doesn't have any
and then you try and regular... tape it together. And I'm a hopeless rapper.
Oh, so am I. I think... try and slide the scissors through the paper and it always tears.
And then if you can buy the cheap paper.
And then you do the fold on the end of the thing and you try and fold it over and put the tape on.
You know,
it all gets messy.
You know who the best rappers are? Those who work in Myers and David Jones.
They're so good.
You just go, how do you do that? And I sit there.
My daughter and my wife are really good.
Rappers?
Really good rappers. I almost get Gwen to wrap her own presents with a blindfold on.
She still does a better job.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so I'm going on this grid. I'm going, this is the greatest invention ever because I'm taking it easy. And it was just so good.
And presentation-wise, what did you give yourself?
Oh, I'd give it 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10?
I didn't have a bow, Robert. I didn't have a bow. But you know when you see the girls from David Jones or Myers, and then they get the scissors with a little bit of string of
and they,
like that?
And it curls up like that. Curls up like
you just go, how do you do that? Is there a course you can do for present wrapping?
No, there'd have to be.
Surely.
I mean, how do you get a job in one of those places without doing a course? Because,
and if
you're not born with that skill.
If there isn't, there should be. But I just personally thought that that was the greatest invention ever. The grid on the other side of wrapping paper.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no worries. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Well, good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Patrick.
What do you got for us?
Well, one of Australia's favourite national exports, I suppose, in her business, has come back to Australia.
Is that about KFC?
No.
Has come back to Australia.
Come back to Australia.
Foster's?
Nope.
No, don't think you even left. Is it a singer?
Been.
Food?
Had been offshore since 2013.
Oh, geez, what do they do?
Margot Robbie. You know, the actress.
Yep.
She's coming back to Australia. Gone to Byron Bay, lived next door to Chris Hemsworth.
Apparently people are giving Byron Bay the swerve now.
Not Margot.
Oh, because Chris has left. He's bought a house.
He's gone.
Oh, he's still got his house there, but he bought his house somewhere else. Yeah.
So he doesn't want to live there anymore.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
I've driven through there, and it's a punish to get from one side to the other. I was there at Christmas time just
madness.
Before.
Madness.
We were at Lennox Head, which is much cooler.
Yeah. We sat at Lennox Head too.
Lennox Head's great.
Yeah, we stayed at the resort on the corner.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Those rocks, though, punish those rocks.
Yeah, very
been
much
been cuntied
so.
On them once or twice.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so that's
move
it.
On. That's
okay.
It. Margot's come to the
the world's oldest dog, Bobby.
Okay.
Hey, how old?
27.
No, higher.
31.
Hang on. No.
32.
31.
Oh, 31.
How old's Wall?
He'd be 5.
Because Taco is.
Oh, God, I don't know if I could put up with him for six
another 26
times
years. Because Taco is 12, Bearsy's 11, but Bobby Portuguese Pooch was declared the world's oldest dog by Guinness World Records, celebrating his 31st birthday. Happy birthday, Bobby.
Sorry, what sort of dog is it?
It's a Portuguese Pooch.
I've never heard of him.
Nor me either. Anyways, had a big birthday celebrations, all that sort of stuff. And he looks pretty good. You know how you see old dog and
it's a big dog though, isn't it? Like it's sort of like the size of a Labrador?
Yeah, a bit smaller actually. I did have a picture, but I lost a picture of Bobby. I don't know where Bobby went. So 31 years of age, which in a layman's term, in people's terms, is 200, let's say 7, 21 and 7. 217 years of age. You know how you multiply it by 7?
Tough to get there.
Holy jeez. Like if you're 217 years
Portuguese
of age.
Portuguese pooch, eh?
Portuguese pooch.
Because they say, like with the Chinese, they're all the oldest people in the world, aren't they?
I think so.
There's always a 121-year-old Chinaman somewhere.
Yeah,
China person.
Yeah. So if you want a dog that lasts the test of time.
Portuguese pooch.
That's the place to be. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Man, I want to talk, not Gary Moore, I want to talk about other Gary because he's a frustrated boomer. He claims everything about life in Australia was better in the 80s and asks what went wrong. He had this rant that's gone viral and blaming an overpaid and corporate government for ruining everything that he cherished about life in Australia. He's was growing up in the 80s. We're going to look at this later on this morning better. But I think people who grew up in the 70s would have said, oh, growing up in the 70s were better. People who grew up in the 90s said growing up in the 90s were better.
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Hey,
well,
look,
they are the best years of your life when you're growing up.
Look, I've got to agree with Gary here. He said we built aircrafts, boats, submarines, battle cruisers, ships, warships, buses, locomotives, diesel electric trains, as well as the tracks. Yeah, I do, Gary. I do. Everything was proudly made in Australia. I do agree with Gary.
Are you jumping on the Gary Winch?
No, I'm just saying I do agree with Gary.
So you agree with Gary?
Oh, on that part, Robert.
None of the other stuff.
No. But everyone says if they grew up in, as I said, if you're growing up now in 2020.
Look, no one cares. Did you see that movie with Nicole Kidman in it? Not Nicole Kidman, sorry. Kylie Minogue in it, where it was about the 70s, growing up in the 70s. I can't remember what it was. Swingers or something? No, not Swingers.
You got my attention now.
Yeah, no, it was set in the late 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And it was like, you just see the way these parents were raising their kids and the kids would just be whatever. Yeah, go and do whatever. They're jumping off the roof into a 1 meter deep paddle pool. All this sort of stuff.
Like Stranger Things growing up in the 80s then. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay.
I'll get this. Hello, okay. Triple M.
Yes, good morning. It's the once acting AGM.
Yeah.
I'm in the mirrored shower.
Yeah,
I'm
sounds like it. Up.
Oh, hang on. I've just seen myself.
Okay. Yeah.
Steam is billowing up.
Uh-huh.
And you know what?
You are gorgeous.
You forgot to say gorgeous. Capital G.
Capital G, oh. Sorry.
And you boys are both correct. Oh, hang on. I've just seen myself again. Stop it, Mr. Hanson.
Are you calling about Gary's comments about living in the 80s?
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah.
For a woman, it's always a Karen,
and
for men, it's always a Gary.
I
apologise if your name is Gary, but seriously, I know a lot of Garys, and they all behave like other Garys.
Do you think once acting AGM, growing up in the 80s, life was better?
Look, we did have more space because Australia's population back then was about 15 million compared to today's population of about 26 million. Other good things about the 80s, South Sydney supporters had teeth.
Yeah.
Well, most of them did. And Parramatta could actually field a decent football team.
Please. What about growing up in the 80s on the Central Coast, former boss?
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm gorgeous. I've just seen myself again.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Growing up in the 80s on the Central Coast, things were different. Yeah. If you had a set of falsies, they were teeth, not buzzies.
Yeah.
Coke and ice, just a soft drink at Macca's.
Yeah.
A Brazilian was someone from Brazil. And you could go for a beer at Terrigal without having to have Botox, lip fillers and implants, or be so roided up that the only shirt that fits you is your little brother's and he's only 15.
Right. I know. Gary liked growing up in the 80s, but there are many advantages of still being here in 2023, aren't there, boss?
Oh, absolutely, Robert. For those who grew up in the 80s, you can still have a smoking hot body in 2023.
Yeah.
It's called cremation. I don't want to be there, though. Anyway, I must go. Bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the
podcast. So glad we got Dr. Fam on the show today.
Yeah, because I'm sick of having you.
Hey, mate.
Pretend to be a doctor.
Oh, listen, pal, I didn't charge you anything.
You just
I charged
stuff
Medicare.
Up.
We got Dr. Fam from Providence Medical at your minor. G'day, Dr.
Hey,
Fam.
Dr. Fam.
Morning, guys.
Now, listen, first of all, can you control someone's ego? is there a pill?
I don't have to answer that, doctor.
No, I do want to know before we talk about skincare. Can you control someone's ego?
I might have some magic tablets for it.
Yeah, though. Magic tablets. And it's easy to seem like you have an ego when you're standing next to someone as ordinary as Gerard. That's the problem.
But Dr. Fam, my wife thinks I'm a narcissist.
Oh,
is there pills for that?
I think we all have the same issue.
Yeah, the same. It's the same.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Right.
Can I make an appointment?
Oh, can you do it?
Yeah, more than welcome. Making sure it's long.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It'll be a double appointment. It'll be a double appointment. No, but we are now.
In the room, you two.
Okay. Now, Dr. Fam specialises in skin cancer management. Now, you went last week, and it's really important you do it.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I just thought I had something that didn't feel right behind my ear, and I thought, hang on, I'm going to check that.
But I had a look at Dr. Fam.
Not before my friend had diagnosed that there's nothing to worry about, but I still went and I got a check. It's very important, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very important, definitely.
Now, Dr. Fenn, what? I have a lot of skin spots and moles and that. Oh, what
tags,
is the skin tags as well?
He cuts his own off.
I've got hairs coming out of different parts of my body, which
He's
they shouldn't
hairs
be coming,
coming out of.
Now, what though with spots? Because I look at my wife's back and I go, "Babe, you should get that checked out." What is the telltale sign? Is there one if you've got a spot or a mole or something?
Yep, sure. Any spot has been changing, whatever change in size, color, getting a sore, not healing, that's very dangerous red flag sign. You need to talk to your GP to check it. You need to talk to someone at least has an experience in skin check. Need to be further tested sometimes.
Mm. Is it wise to take a picture, take a photo, say then say a month later, take another photo just to see if there's been any change?
Yeah. Yeah, skin checks start from the patient himself. So at least you need to do a full body skin check yourself once a month or once every 3 months with a change of season. You will need to do this with someone like your partner, your wife, to check your back, the back of your ears, the neck.
What about your workmate?
No.
You like to say, now, Dr. Fam.
I prefer not to comment about this.
When we're finished with Dr. Fam, I am going to examine you, Robert.
Are you? I'm reneging my offer to my friend to give him lunch today. He wants my food.
Now, Dr. Fam, is it every 6 months? Like, we grew up in the sun. There was no awareness. It's really important. Is it every 6 months, every year, should you go for a checkup?
So, first, you need to do it yourself at home, at least once a month.
Yeah.
But I think it would be very wise to do it at least once with your doctor, with your GP or skin specialist. And then the doctor, according to the examination, will let you know how often you need to do it. If we picked a lot of spots need to be frozen, like precancerous spots, skin cancer has been picked up, then we need to do it every 6 months, every 12 months. If a melanoma has been picked up, this means that you have a very high risk of another melanoma. And we will need to do a skin check every 3 months for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
And all the first degree family members, like brothers, sisters, need to do skin check also. So it varies from one person to another.
Yeah.
But I think it will be wise at least do a skin check once with your doctor. You need to do check yourself every 3 months or every month.
Yeah.
Any new spot, any big colored lesion, any ulcer, any lesion that doesn't heal, that's all these are red flags that you need to talk to your GP with it.
Yeah, I had a spot on my skin. It was dark, and it's always been that way. And every time I had my skin checked, he'd say, "Yeah, no, that's just a colour pigmentation thing." But then, you know, recently I thought, "Oh, gee, how it feels a bit like, you know, a bit different or a bit scaly or whatever." And then, sure enough, the doctors looked at it and said, "Yep, there's skin cancer there," and just froze it off. But got it in the early stages. And the key is getting these things early, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yes, it's always good to pick them early because it can be easily managed, even at the practice. Rather than leave them and then we tell the patient, unfortunately, it's too late.
Yeah,
especially some cancers are very, very deadly, like melanomas. And and there is no rule even with melanoma. You can't imagine how many young patients. I've seen melanomas in even children. It's not common, but I've seen it.
Yeah.
So always have a chat with your doctor. Check yourself. Check your back. You need to check even the areas that people don't think you can get cancer in it, like your nails, your palms, your feet. Again, you can't imagine how many young patients in 20s and 30s, I removed melanomas from their toes and foot.
Yeah. So, and if you're interested, if you want a GP specialising in skin cancer management, go and see Dr. Pham, Providence Medical, your minor. I'm going to do Rob a check over now,
no,
Dr. Pham.
You're not.
Thank you for giving me the approval.
And I'm not checking you.
And I'll check all the places that you said to check, Dr. Pham. So thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Dr. Fam, thank you so much, mate.
Good on you, Doc.
We're going to play that Monday. Thank you so much, buddy.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. See you, mate.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Subscribe now and you'll never miss an episode.